radio.dominican.edu Penguin Radio.
They're playing basketball
all around the world.
We love their basketball
to the beach.
They're playing basketball.
Let's go.
This is Keeping It Real, Talking Can Feel with DJ Unspoken. Stay real, y'all.
So dead. To the beach, y'all.
What up, DJ Unspoken here on this lovely afternoon on the campus of Dominican University of California. Just a quick news little update before I start my show. The flu season is coming and you should be able to protect yourself and your community. Flu shot clinic dates are Tuesday, October 13th, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Thursday, October 22nd, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Tuesday, November 3rd, 12 p.m. to 1 p.m. The location is Creekside. Cost is $20 cash or check. Free for current Kaiser members if you present your card. They will not be able to bill your insurance providers, Medi-Cal, or Medicare. This message was sponsored by the Dominican University of California Student Health Center. So our topic for today's show, Life After the Game. I want to give a shout out to my mother for this topic. She brought it to my attention. As this is a big concern for student athletes, including myself, what happens after our collegiate experience is over? We have to transition to the real world. So I want to give a shout out to my mother all the way in Texas. Thank you so much for this, Mom. And let's just dive in right into the topic. But first, I want to try out a new idea for my show. It's called Real Feel. And basically, I just want to get all the negative energy out of my body before I talk about my topic. If you ever watch Family Guy, it's kind of when Peter has his little segment called You Know What Really Grinds My Gears? And it goes a little something like this.
You know what really grinds my gears? People in the 19th century. Why don't they get with the freaking program? It's called an automobile, folks. It's much faster than a horse. Oh. Well, it appears I've been fired. Well, as long as I'm no longer working here, let me tell you something.
So this is how I want to start off my show, so let's begin. So you know the topic at hand is student-athletes, so this is how I really feel. Athletes tend to forget that they're students before they're athletes. And yes, you can be students of the game. However, education will take you further in life. Your athletic ability may have gotten you here, but education will keep you here. And I feel like athletes, even coaches sometimes, forget that aspect of being a student-athlete. However, mainly athletes just don't understand that. Coaches are basically paying for if not three-fourths, hell, half of your tuition to allow you to get an almost free education. I don't understand why. If I had to give it a percentage, I would say about 45% of student-athletes don't take advantage of this opportunity. If it's not a blessing in disguise, I don't know what is. Moving on to how I really feel, I've been to four different universities. I've been on a few teams. Most athletes I've come into contact with, I feel, in my personal opinion, don't deserve the scholarship that have been given to them. You may wonder why I said this, and the reason being is that if you don't put in extra work or time to better yourself, not only physically, but mentally, emotionally, why are you here? Hey, most may have been recruited because you're tall, maybe had a little skill, or height was a thing for a coach, maybe because you were athletic, or maybe even by luck. Who knows? Maybe it was in whoever you believe in's plan to get you somewhere for half of the cost. And I feel as if a coach is making an investment in you, you don't hold your end of the bargain, why are they keeping you? Hey, I can't tell a coach how to do their job because they have more years and experience under their belt than me. But what I see and what they see is two different things. Because I spend mainly three-fourths of my whole school year with the team. And I see a lot more than most coaches because I'm out there playing with them. I'm out there hanging out with them and things of that nature. But let's not forget, I can't personally bite the hand that feeds me because they're paying for my education. And I'm thankful for every coach that ever has paid for my education, and I feel like I'm a very grateful person, and I do try to bust my butt for the most part because y'all are providing me with this ability to go to school. Lastly, with all the meaning, whether or not a sports team or even the corporate world, you've been on a team where it's different people, you know, the queen bee, the quiet one, the one who thinks they know it all, the kiss A, the nonchalant, the one that thinks everything's a foul or everything is wrong, they think they're right all the time. The one that's really irritating, the one that tries to be the mediator, the one that looks like they don't belong, the sensitive one, the really athletic one, the role player, and last but not least, the cheerleader. And let's not forget the princess. Having all these different types of personalities can be a blessing and a curse, depending on how you look at it. Some mesh well, some don't, some cancel the other out, but all in all, they are a team. And yeah, some people may be better than others, and cliques may form, and sometimes people outgrow each other and do their own thing. You just have to respect that. And don't overstep your boundary or expect something of someone to act a certain way or play a certain way just because you do. But personally, that's just how I feel. And now that I've gotten all that off my chest and off my mental that I've just been holding on just to say for my show, I just feel like it just needed to be said. But however, I know the show just started, but let's take a quick break. And you have been listening to me, DJ Unspoken, on Pinger Radio, radio.dominican.edu. I'll be back real soon.
Yeah. I know we just signed the deal, but I need my advance on the next one, too. They know I'm going to be around. Yeah. I need it.
Metro Boomin wants some more.
Because I got a really big team, and they need some really big rings. They need some really nice things. Better be coming with no strings. Better be coming with no strings. We need some really nice things. We need some really big rings. I got a really big team. I got a really big team. They need some really big rings. They need some really nice things. Better be coming with no strings. Better be coming with no strings. We need some really nice things.
And you know this, man.
This is Penguin Radio.
Man, what a time to be alive. You and yours. First, me and mine. Are we talking teams? Are we talking teams? Are you switching sides? Wanna come with me? Look at the smile on me. Look at the aisle on me. I do not chase girls, but they run a mile for me. Say she gon' ride for me. I buy the ties for you. This game is different. You only get one shot when go file on you. Man, f*** all. Man, we want it all. Don't get too involved. We gon' knock it all. And to top it off, I'm with all the dogs. It's a new season.
This is Keeping It Real, Talk You Can Feel.
And I got a really big team, and they need some really big rings. They need some really nice things. Better be coming with no strings. Better be coming with no strings. We need some really nice things. We need some really big rings. I got a really big team. I got a really big team. They need some really big rings. They need some really nice things. Better be coming with no strings. Better be coming with no strings. We need some really nice things. We need some really big rings. I got a really big team.
Man, what a time to be alive. I'm Drake and Lee. They thought I'd die. I run with kidnappers. I'm talking about kidnappers. I'm talking about murdering them. I'm talking about carjackers. You just a battle rapper. I'm an official traveler. We driving subliminal. They just some dribble jabber. We take a melody yeller, then we fill it with red forever, ever. These niggas so jealous, jealous. Man, these niggas scared, they tell it, tell it. I check up on everything. I bought some ice when the feds came. I bought that big new Celine. I got rings, I got rings like Serena. All of my rings, Aquafina. My bitch, Aquafina. Pluto and Jupiter, I go to Venus. My fresh out the store, but I'm not out the cleaners. Who keep a skull cut?
Because I got a really big team, and they need some really big rings.
You're listening to Penguin Radio.
No strings, better be coming with no strings. We need some really nice things. We need some really big rings. I got a really big team. I got a really big team. They need some really big rings. They need some really nice things. Better be coming with no strings. Better be coming with no strings. We need some really nice things. We need some really big rings. I got a really big team, man. What a time.
We are back, and I'm your favorite DJ, DJ Unspoken, here on radio.dominican.edu, the official radio station of Dominican University of California. Let's get real. So our topic for today is life after sports. So I'm just going to go into detail about this and read a couple of articles to you guys just to give you some insight about it. So from basketball to football, ice hockey, less than 2% of college players move on to become professional athletes. For many who don't make the cut, adjusting to life after sports can be challenging, especially those lacking the skill and experience needed to be competitive in the real world. So are colleges setting students up to fail, or is it on the athlete to prepare for life after sports? Personally, I feel it's a two-part situation. The reason being is because, yes, the university or even the coaching staff should take some kind of initiative, maybe not initiative, but preparation, preparing you for life after your sport, because many don't make it. I know a lot of coaches say that many don't make it, but that's just some advice. Give us some tools or things so we can be better prepared for when we don't make it. And also, I feel like athletes should take the first initiative to prepare themselves, because regardless of your dreams that you have to go pro or go anywhere overseas or anything, I feel as if that if you don't take the initiative to prepare yourself to be ready to work in the real world, and you're just worried about your sport, just like I said previously before, education is the key. And if you're not getting your education or taking advantage of the opportunities that being presented to you, you're not going to be prepared for the real world. So it's a two-part situation on that. And I know the goal of many college athletes is to get a lucrative contract with a marquee professional sports team. But according to Al Jazeera, less than 2% of these players go pro, leaving 98% to undergo some serious life reevaluation. Helix report that adjusting to life or sports can take a serious psychological toll on a player or athlete. Unfortunately, we really don't talk about it very much or prepare athletes for it, says a sports psychologist by the name of Caroline Silby. So what does this transition look like? As you expect, college athletes have spent years of their child and young adulthood honing their athletic skills. Hours per day spent on courts, tracks, fields, and in the weight room, culminating with the opportunity to play at a high collegiate level. For years more, they dedicate increasing chunks of their time to preparation, conditioning, and competition. In many cases, life revolves around this sport. And I feel like this is true because my sport gives me purpose. It defines me. Usually when people hear my name, they don't say, DJ Unspoken this, DJ Unspoken that. They say DJ Unspoken is a basketball player at Dominican University of California. And I feel like that is a big part of many collegiate athletes. So what is being done about this? Unfortunately, many athletic programs do not offer sports-specific mental health services to college athletes. While generally on-campus counseling is still available, athletic departments should invest in at least a fraction of the energy they spend winning games on their athletes' mental health, which, again, I feel is true. Personally, my coaches' staff here on Dominican University of California, we do have a mental coach that comes here and gives us tools to become smarter and give us mental toughness. And I know some people are either born with it or have some understanding of it, but having the mental coach come in can refresh people who already know this stuff and even give new ideas to some stuff they didn't know. And for the people who don't have the ability to be mentally tough, gives them a starting ground to become mentally tough and understand that, you know, it is a game and that most of us won't make it. So meanwhile, the key to something of life after sports is investing in a new passion, according to Helix. You've got to be able to cope with it, and the only way to do that is to realize that life goes on. And that's a harsh fact, but for 98% of college athletes, life does go on. And to say that life can go on with or without you, and for most people, I would rather have life go on with you. So you just have to find tools and even look up or research yourself. I'm talking to college athletes now. Things that can help you be better prepared for the real world. And in saying that, I feel as if throughout my career as being a college athlete, I wasn't really prepared for or really wasn't thinking about life after sports, because my basketball career, my college career, whatever, has been a big part of me for so long. All the way starting to a freshman in high school, I've never thought about, I want to do something else, because I've always tried to hone my skills and my ability to present myself to Division I, Division II universities and coaches. So I don't feel like I was prepared for anything, but now going into my senior year, I feel as if I'm more aware that I need to be equipped with tools and understanding that basketball could end for some people. It could be for not just basketball, any sport in general, that it could end in a blink of an eye with injuries, with financial reasons, with grades, with family matters, or any of those situations. And I feel as if you taking the initiative to prepare yourself to go into the real world could really help you a lot, not only as a college athlete, but as a citizen or a person in general. And also, going back to the point I said, yeah, the university and colleges need to prepare their student athletes for this, because student athletes already have a lot on their plate between workouts, traveling, missing classes, trying to get good grades, trying to have social life, trying to get enough sleep, and trying to maintain, you know, relationships with their girlfriend or boyfriend, and trying to stay in communication with their family. It's already a lot on them. And people think, oh, college athletes had it easy, but that's not true. We have it 10 times worse than most people, in my own opinion. And I feel like the colleges, universities, coaches, et cetera, need to be able to help collegiate athletes be better prepared to get where they want to go in life, because regardless, their sport ends, they need to have to establish their where they want to go in life, what career they want. And, you know, hone in on that. Education is the key to get you to where you need to go in life. And I keep saying that because it's true. I mean, anybody you know that has played sports or any have played in anything in life in general and has an education have gone further in life than those who have just been focused on their sports. And I'm not saying just you focus on your sports is a bad thing, but to be honest and to really understand, you have to be able to not only play well, but also be smarter in general. But I thought that was an amazing article, a very insightful article about life after college sports. It was written by Zach Cheney Rice, an excellent writer. But hey, you've been listening to me, DJ Unspoken, on radio.dominican.edu, Penguin Radio. We are going to head into our second break. When we come back, I will be digging a little deeper with this topic, so stay tuned.
It ain't nothing to make you want it. Get you tipsy, a little blunt, I pulled up in the S by honey. Fucked up, feeling all up on it. You know what I came to do. You know what I came to do. You know what I came to do.
You're listening to Penguin Radio.
You know what I came to do. 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 You know what I came to do for you. Tipsy, a little blunt, I pulled up in the S by honey. Fucked up, feeling all up on it. You know what I came to do. You know what I came to do.
You're listening to Penguin Radio at radio.dominican.edu.
And I'm the type that you want. So I'm just out to count in money while these
Hey, 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 DJ Unspoken here on Penguin Radio, radio.dominican.edu. You've been listening to Keep It Real, Talking and Feel. So over the break, I thought about my personal life, this topic, and I wanted to share with y'all. But before I do that, I just wanted to get a little bit deeper with this. And I know I stated before, for mainly half of the life of collegiate athletes, our days have been measured by workouts and physical therapy appointments. Our needs have been oriented around sleep and calories. Games won and lost fade into seasons played, and our commitment born on the field into big shin guards or on the base with oversized gloves grew from Saturday morning obligations into a state of being. There's no other way but to wake up each day and do it all again. It is natural as breathing and as rhythmic as the two slow beats over an oversized heart. Devotion is no different in that had by any other artist, a concert pianist, a writer, a researcher. It is commitment to our talents and a refusal to let them go to waste. The impulse cannot be easily aligned with the obsessive psyche for athletes. Neither can it be boiled down to reliance on endorphins or addiction to pain. We sacrifice similarly. We spend weeks nursing swollen joints, soaking, seeping blisters. We study in weight rooms, take naps in MRI machines. We become versed in fracturing sprains and supplements and medications. We could, if asked, diagram our own shoulder and knees right down to our slowly shredding cartilage. For the lucky ones, after 4 years, everything simply hurts. For others, the body quits. Too tight tendons snap, bones weaken against the years shattered. Anti-inflammatory and painkillers sears into our stomach lining, and yet we remain, all of us, convinced that we are still stronger, faster, and better. You know, injuries, I talked about injuries. I think I did talk about injuries. Injuries, despite it's a heartbreak, can easily be understood. The body no longer wants to work. And even when I talked about when getting injured, that can end your career in the blink of an eye, the body just shuts down. How do you recover from that in general? And going into my personal story, this happened to me twice. So I just want to go ahead and talk about that. Since my freshman year of high school, my dream has always been to go D1. And I had opportunities, and I worked hard to get those opportunities, in my personal opinion. However, my dream was cut short my senior year when I went down a fall league game outside of regular season. Like, it was before preseason, just a thing to keep us in shape and keep the team together. And I went down with a torn right ACL. And I went through all stages many athletes go through when they go down with an injury. I was depressed. I was unhappy. I was crying, if not every day, every other day. I seen scholarships starting to diminish. Depression began to worsen. And many people thought that was the end of my career as an athlete. And most days I thought so too, because I've always seen this happen to other people and I understand why it happened to me. But however, they were sadly mistaken, because yes, I was depressed and many days I wanted to give up, but with the help and support from my mother, I persevered beyond belief and even came back 2 months early. You know, when you go down with an ACL tear, you're out for 6 months, but I came back in 4 months and I felt like I was two times the player I was before, the person in general I was before, because I was a lot smarter, a lot more aware of my body, because I was just pushing it past the breaking point, past the limits. And without the support of my mother and being able to have a little bit of knowledge of being mentally tough, I just got myself together and pushed myself beyond the breaking point for it. And then, however, I ended up getting an offer from a JUCO in Nebraska to play basketball, and I can say I had a great season on the court with the dreams of still going pro within reach. However, off the court, it wasn't all rainbows and butterflies, just wasn't going the way I expected my freshman year in college to go. And I mean, yeah, it's a JUCO, a junior college, and it's a lot smaller, and it's not as intense, or the fans are not as present in the games as they're D1 or D2. So just going back to different types of teammates I discussed in my Real Feel segment, I started forming bad habits and hanging around with the wrong crowd, et cetera, et cetera. And I almost lost my scholarship, in which my dreams would have been done for in general. Like, there would have been no more basketball. There would have been no more thinking of going pro, or even thinking of going D1 before trying to go pro. I would have been probably at home working if I would have continued doing the same things that I did. And But however, with my mother who has always been very, I wouldn't say pushy, but very hard on me, and in a sense to always make sure that I'm doing better than I ever did before. And the hasty decision I made to remove all those negative people in my life and all that negativity out of my life, I got back on track to my dream. After leaving, I only spent 1 year there. I went back to the state of Texas because, you know, Southside's the realest, to continue my education and develop my athletic skills. I ended up going to HBCU, which is a historically black college or university, where I had planned to finish my JUCO career and further my education. Being stronger and smarter and more aware of people in general, and coming back from my then now from my then 1 year ACL recovery, I was ready to make a way to be the rising star once again. The season was going okay, and I was doing great in school, and the team was an all right bunch. The team was, you know, more diverse, to say the least, than my team was back in Nebraska. And in Nebraska, I did have a real culture shock, just due to the fact that me being African-American and going to Nebraska, where the population is more majority Caucasian, it was hard for me to kind of, I guess, adjust to that huge change. But luckily I had an adoptive family that helped me, took care of me, and were present at every game and gave me that support, you know, because my mom's all the way in Texas. She couldn't always come out there, but they were at every game cheering me on, and my mom was there in spirit. So that was cool. But, you know, going back to the team, there was an all right bunch, and it was cool and things. And the preseason was great. We were winning some, losing some. It was kind of back and forth because it was a whole new group. And, you know, it came to postseason. I had a sudden blow happen to me, and I went down yet again with another ACL tear, this time to my left knee, in which, you know, it's 60%. Girls are 60% more likely to tear the ACLs than their male counterpart, just due to the lack of muscle there and the lack of knowledge knowing how to land properly. So it happened, and I knew my dreams going pro were just undeniably over. Not even going pro, just going to a D1 school were just unbelievably over, because there was no way a D1 school was going to try to recruit somebody who has two torn ACLs. Like, just like realizing that in my senior year of high school when I went down with just one, no D1 school wanted to pick me up, and it really hurt, and I knew that phase of my life was over. However, my mother's undying love and positivity pushed me to come back once again and chase after my dreams harder than ever before. And I know you may have noticed that I've been talking about my mother so much. She is the strongest, most motivational, best support system, caring, loving mother I could ever ask for. Without her, I wouldn't be able to do or have most of the things I do, or be able to even come to a university to play basketball without her. She's helped me so much in a sense that helped me become the person I am today. Not only the person, but the athlete I am today, because she's always pushing me to do better than myself. Not to just be hard on myself, but just do better than I was, be better than I was last year. Because every year you should just grow a little bit. And I thank my mom for that once again. However, I did take a year off to collect myself mentally, physically, emotionally for the hardship I was going to endure going to my last 2 years of college. So I just prepared myself, conditioned myself, became aware, so I was able to present myself to D2 NCAA coaches. I found myself on Dominican University of California campus after an email to former women basketball coach, Coach Chambers. After her leave, Coach Timothy Lacoste got a hold of my email and highlight video I sent him, because I made my own stuff, and I think he thought it was pretty good. And I think I had some slamming music, so whatever. I think that's probably why he liked it, because of my music. And he contacted me, and next thing I knew, I was a D2 NCAA collegiate athlete. Even though my dreams of going to the WNBA had diminished, or even going D1 had diminished, my thoughts of going overseas began to boil inside of me. And under the guidance of former overseas player and now assistant coach of women's basketball, Fanique Allen, I started to hone my skills and sharpen my focus on what really mattered to me, getting my education, getting my diploma, and making money by going overseas. My junior year came and went, and I saw myself not only on the court, but especially in the classroom, being that I do major in communications and media studies, and having to come into a new program with new coaches and the same players here from last year, I had to not only prove to them, but prove to myself that I could, that I was here for a reason, that God put me here for a reason, that it's just to further my education and become a better basketball player. So going into my senior year, which I am a senior now, I am ready for whatever comes my way. And cutting the negativity and hindering people out of my life, being back home or even here on campus, and keeping my head in the books and my heart to stay on the grind to get where I want to be, and hopefully being overseas, because I want to be part of that 2% that I spoke about earlier, that who that makes it. And I'm ready to overcome any obstacles to get there. I don't want to be that statistic of the 98% who don't make it, who have to make that transition. Am I prepared to make the transition? Yes, I do feel like I'm prepared. But do I want to be part of that statistic? No. I want to be part of the 2% who gets to keep playing, who gets to get paid for it. Because I know college athletes don't get paid for all the pain and strain they put on their body due to being able to play at a high collegiate level. And I feel as if that 2%, being a part of that 2%, will not only give me the motivation to continue life after I stop playing, if I am able to go overseas, but just to push myself to beyond boundaries in the corporate world as well. So that's me, DJ Unspoken. I just wanted to share a little bit about me with my listeners. However, it is break time. You have been listening to Keeping It Real Talking Phil on Pinger Radio. Stay tuned. I'll be back real soon just to give you some more insight about life after the game. So stay tuned. I'll be back.
Can we hear that back? You're listening to Penguin Radio.
All right. Took in this girl next door when her parents went out. She gon' say, hey boy, come on right around. So I knock at the door, he was standing with a bottle of red wine ready to pour, dressed in a long black satin, laced to the floor. So I went in and we sat down, stopped kissing, caressing, told me about jacuzzi, sounded interesting. So we jumped right in, all calls diverted to answer phone. Parents were kinda cool, but they were the fine line between me and you. We were just doing things young people in love do. Parents trying to find out what we were up to. Saying, why were you creeping round the glass? Now that I see two shadows moving in your bedroom light. Now you're dressed in black, when I left you were dressed in white. Can you feel me? Red wine bottle, half the contents gone. Midnight return, jacuzzi turned on. Can you feel me? Whenever the coast was clear and she'd ask me to come out, I'd say, hey girl, come right around. So she knocked at the door, I was standing with the keys in my hand to the 4x4. Jumped in my ride, chicken and nobody saw. We went in, we got down, bow, bow to the rhythm. So it was early morning, thought we better be leaving. So I gave you my jacket for you to hold. Told you to wear it cause you felt cold. I mean, I didn't mean to break the rules. I weren't trying to play mom and dad for fools. We were just doing things young people in love do. Parents trying to find out what we were up to. Saying, why can't you keep your promises? No, don't say you'll be home by 12, come strolling in at 4. Out with the girls, but leaving with the boy next door. Can you feel me? Wearing a jacket, who's property? Said you've been queuing for a taxi, but you left all your money on the TV. Can you feel me?
Are back on Penguin Radio, radio.dominican.edu. I am DJ Unspoken here on Keeping It Real Talking Gefil. So let's get back to our topic, life after sports. I do want to share some success stories with my listeners because it's not all bad life after sports for some. My cousin Jeremy Bill, he had to make a transition. He did play collegiate, then he made it to the pro and had to make the transition to the corporate world. And he's been pretty successful in doing that. And that just goes to show that it's not always easy, but it can be done. Also, there is another player by the name of Drew Meyer. He's translating athletic success into college to achievement in his business. From the baseball field at South Carolina to the competitive world of insurance, Drew Meyer knows what it takes to succeed. For former University of South Carolina, Columbia, All-American Drew Meyer baseball provided opportunities of a lifetime. In 2002, after playing three seasons for South Carolina, Myers was selected in the first round of the Major League Baseball draft by the Texas Rangers. Go Rangers! Though he had not yet earned his academic degree, it didn't mean he never would. With the goal to finish what he started, Myers went back to school in 2011 through the Carolina Degree Completion Program, an initiative that welcomes back former student athletes who left in a good academic standing to complete their undergraduate degrees. As a second-time student, Meyer earned top grades. I view my classes as a way to learn from others and understand their point of view, Meyer said. On the field, I approach every practice with 100% intensity level. I want to see how good I can be each day, and if I didn't have dirt on my uniform at the end of the day, then I didn't practice hard enough. That mentality helped him to become a superb college player before spending 9 years in professional baseball, including 5 games in 2006 in the Major League. After his baseball career, Meyer reconnected with a former teammate who helped him transition to the business world. That move led to a career as a marketing representative for Federal Insurance in Greenville, South Carolina. I love working in the business industry because it enables me to utilize a lot of skills I've learned in college, Meyer says. I get a chance to build relationships with business owners and learn how they become successful while continuing a competitive lifestyle in the sales world. I think that is a great story that even he kind of credits his baseball success into his business aspect of his career aspect into the corporate world because he was so successful that pushed him to be successful in other aspects of his life. Another story that came to mind was one of Matt Grace and Sheen Joyner, teammates beyond the gridiron. Now co-workers and business partner, Matt and Sheen met as freshman roommates and teammates. When Grace and Joyner were randomly paired as freshman roommates in 2001, no one could have predicted the friendship that would develop, much less the business relationship that would follow. A lot of people, even our teammates, assumed that we had known each other for years, Grace recalled. We've become fast friends, and we were pretty much tied at the hip. If it wasn't for our wives, we'd still probably be roommates today. Well, they are no longer shared campus housing or seats on the football team bus. They are still teammates. Now it's in the office, and teamwork that is displayed at Catholic University Cardinals is even more evident in their business partnership. Grace and Jordan work for the same financial management company, and as they dreamed about in college, also develop and manage rental properties together on the side. The first attempt to launch a business of sorts fell before it got off the ground. In college, Grace and Jordan saw opportunity to become young entrepreneurs and plan to buy depleted houses near campus. They wanted to restore it and rent it out while living in it themselves. Their parents shut their plan down, but the idea never died. Our parents quickly told us to focus on being student athletes and not entrepreneurs, Jordan said. That house was remodeled by someone else a year later, and today is worth a lot of money. Not long after they graduated, their entrepreneurship spirit was rekindled. Trusting one another as they did on the football field, Grace and Jordan took calculated risks and bought and developed their first rental property. That was just a start. Today they own 6 rental properties in Washington, D.C. Grace and Jordan got creative with one of their rental properties. They use 18 recycled containers as frames for a three-story apartment complex. Wow. 18 recycled shipping containers, excuse me. That's amazing. Their goal was to build something unique, something that stood out. And the futuristic jigsaw building with large windows installed at each end of what once was a shipping container looks exceptionally beautiful, especially the historic buildings of the national capital nearby. They named it CAU as a play on words, earning their alma mater. Their creativity garnered them more success than they ever suspected. In May, CAU was named among the best real estate deals of 2014 in Washington, D.C. by Washington Business Journal. The square footage is attractive for city dwellers, with each apartment nearly 1,800 square feet, with six bedrooms, six accompanying bathrooms, a central living space, a kitchen, and a 9-foot ceiling. Also, the use of recycled material draws people in. Grace and Jordan have been successful in their full-time careers and their property development business, but their road hasn't always been smooth, which, as I stated before, is not an easy transition, but it can be done. And from the two stories that I've read, I'm not finished with the second one, it can be done. It's not always an easy road, but, you know, you should always take the easy road. You should try to overcome some obstacles, because that what makes people is hardships. Overcoming obstacles makes people stronger in a sense, not only physically but mentally and emotionally in aspect as well. Getting back to the topic, I think we learned to pick ourselves up after failure. Regardless of the game's outcome, we had to get up and prepared to play again the next week. Just talking about one of their games they had lost, they were up pretty much the whole game, and then the other team got the ball and got a touchdown, and they were just thinking about how we had to learn to pick ourselves up after failure, regardless of the game's outcome. Just like in any aspect of life, say, regardless of what outcome comes from you not being successful when you first make the transition into the corporate world, you have to continue to keep trying, because everybody has failed once or twice in their life before. I mean, Michael Jordan, Albert Einstein, people didn't think he would be as smart as he was, excuse me. And they doubted him, but through all those obstacles, both of these men kept picking themselves up and worked their way into success. This prepared us well for our life and business, because things don't always go well. Rather than get discouraged and roll over, football teaches you to pick yourself up and keep going, as I just stated in my own words. At Adjourner, Matt and I worked very differently, similar to our positions on the field. I was a lineman, Matt was a fullback. But just like on the field, the way we work complements the other perfectly. So I think that's why we get along so well and why we've been so successful. Beyond their tight bond, the two developed other relationships through their sports that proved impactful. Their teammate James, who was 2 years ahead of them, took the pair under his wing and showed them how to adjust to college life as student athletes. And then when they graduated, James introduced Grace to the man who would become his new boss. That same individual is Jordan's boss as well at First Financial Group. Most importantly, though, Grace and Jordan both met their wives at Catholic. The two women were field hockey players. We each started dating our wives our senior year, and luckily they stuck with us ever since, Grace said. While we are all former student athletes, Jordan joked, our wives were actually good. Well, that's a plus for them. But it just goes to show you that it is a hard transition. I know I've said that before, and I even went to tell you about my cousin, Jeremy. It is a very hard transition, and being prepared and using not only your athletic ability, but what you learn in college to get yourself ready to go into the corporate world, you just have to keep moving forward. I mean, failure is going to come. It happens. I mean, everybody doesn't succeed on their first try. I mean, most people I know don't succeed on their first try. But picking yourself up when you get knocked down is a way to push yourself to work harder till you can reach your dreams and become more successful in a sense. However, I've been kind of just rambling a little bit, and I've been sharing some stories with you. We're going to take a real short break, and when we come back, I'm just going to be kind of just wrapping it up a little bit and give you some real words for the day. So please stay tuned.
No inhibition, no fear, out deep. coming at you with another Bosco Break and your weekly update of Dominican soccer. Dominican University of California's Lily Dubuque has been named this week's PacWest Women's Soccer Freshman of the Week. The award is based on games played September 28th through October 4th. Dubuque registered her first career goals, scoring in each of Dominican's two wins. She notched the game winner in a 1-0 win over Holy Names and scored the first goal in a 2-1 triumph over Dixie State. She took 6 shots in 2 games after recording 8 shots in her first 7. The Penguins now share first place in the Pac West at 3-1 and will hit the road for the next 5 matches. Dominican will head to Fresno Pacific, Notre Dame, and then embark on a 3-match trip to Hawaii. Good luck and good job, ladies. Keep it up. That was your weekly Bosco Break, and you're listening to radio.dominican.edu.
Tell me who I am. Let me in on all your secrets.
What's up, listeners? Radio.dominican.edu is the official radio station of Dominican University of California. I'm DJ Unspoken, so let's get real. I wanted to share another story with you guys. The athlete's name is Lisa Caputo, and her article is called Field of Dreams. From the competition on the field at Brown University to the White House to the corporate world, Lisa Caputo knows what it takes to succeed. From the competition field to public service to private sector, Lisa Caputo knows what it takes to succeed. The oldest of 3 children, Caputo grew up in northeastern Pennsylvania and attended Wyoming Seminary Prep School there. Her father was a lawyer, later became a U.S. district judge. Her mother stayed at home with kids before student teaching when they were grown. At her prep school, Caputo discovered her love of sports early on. Playing tennis from the age of 10, she would become a nationally ranked player by her junior year in high school. Hey, kudos to her. She was also a co-captain at her prep school, on her prep school field hockey team and basketball team. She was talented. I can remember playing field hockey in the gym in the 5th grade and then competing against other schools in the 7th, 8th grade, Caputo recalled. Karen Klassner, the legendary high school field hockey coach, came to watch us play and to scout talent. She's a force of nature and taught me so much about tenacity. Not just a term of your own performance, but also in a teamwork capacity. Look at her trying to rhyme a little bit, making raps. After providing her talent and tenacity on the field in high school, Caputo continued playing field hockey as well as lacrosse. During her years at Brown University, where she graduated magna cum laude in 1986, the following year she earned a master's degree in journalism with the highest distinction from Northwestern University. Excuse me. I love being a part of the team, Caputo said of her student-athlete experience. To this day, my best friends from college are wonderful women for those teams. It was so much more than just a game. It was about camaraderie and friendship. We grew together, and that's a bond that stays with all of us, and I'm grateful for it. Caputo said the lessons she learned as a student athlete still resonate for her today. Communication, collaboration, setting goals and working towards them, the drive to win. These are important life lessons that are all applicable to careers in the modern world workforce, she said. One of Caputo's college professors sparked an interest in her politics, which spurred her to pursue job opportunities in government after completing graduate school. A series of press secretary and media roles followed, accumulating in a position as deputy assistant to President Bill Clinton. Hey, she better watch out. And president secretary to First Lady Hillary Rodham Clinton. From 1993 to 1996, Caputo was also a senior advisor during Hillary Clinton's presidential campaign in 2008. I never dreamed I would end up in the White House, Caputo said. I feel blessed to have experienced that at a young age. I was exposed to so many fantastic aspects of both the political and private sector. From there, I developed an interest in business, and which propelled me into a new career direction. Caputo took on vice president of communication roles with CBS Corporation and Disney Publishing Worldwide before joining Citigroup in 2000, where she served as the company's first global corporate chief marketing officer from 2005 through 2010. As the executive vice president of global marketing and corporate affairs from 2007 to 2010, during her stint with Citigroup, Caputo founded a female-driven financial service business called Women & Co. and served as its chairman and CEO from 2010 to 2010. Since 2011, Caputo has held titles of executive vice president and chief marketing communication officer at the Travels Company, Inc., where she oversees marketing, research, communications, and brand management strategies and operations. I'm a believer in good luck and timing, but also in hard work. She said, I don't believe success has always been a grand plan. You have to be open-minded and willing to embrace new opportunities as they present themselves, because they can lead you to different paths you never would have expected. Computer strives to live life to the fullest by giving it her all, whether at home or at work. Each person's success for himself or herself, she explains. I think success is just being true to yourself, getting up every day and doing the best you can. Her advice to current student-athletes, strive to be your best, both on the field and in the classroom, she says. Dare to dream big and always practice discipline. I always practice a discipline of gratitude. That is a great article. And for her to credit her athletic ability and her experiences being able to get and be successful in the real world, in the corporate world, I feel like this is an article that every student athlete should read if, you know, you're not tuning into my show. But I feel like it's a great article. It's a great read because it actually truly explains, like, everything that she has done. She was a very, very talented athlete playing three sports and then happening to be the deputy assistant to President Bill Clinton and press secretary for the First Lady, Hillary Clinton. Like, that is an amazing job to have, and taking that and putting her athletic skills, saying that her athletic skills are credited to that, I think is truly wonderful. So I just wanted to share that story with you guys, but I'm going to dive into real words of the day. So they go a little something like this. Don't apologize for how you feel. It's like saying sorry for being real. That quote there was like, when I read it, it just totally just resonated with me, because it's the realest thing I've ever read, and it's so true in this day and age. There's a lot of, you know, backstabbing people who are not being true to themselves or you in general, and it's hard to find good, genuine, honest, down-to-earth people nowadays, because there's a lot going on, and, you know, white lies are being told, and then those white lies turn into bigger lies, and it just becomes a web of lies. And if you're feeling some type of way with somebody and, you know, that's just how you feel, and you say something that may be out of line or maybe a little harsh, I understand for apologizing for what you said. But if you felt that you were upset or angry or sad at the time, don't apologize for how you felt, because that's a feeling that you felt. That wasn't brought on upon anybody else. That was just something that you felt. So I feel like you should not apologize for how you feel about certain things. Now, if you say it's not what you say, it's how you say it, as my mother always told me. You know, if you do say something in a very harsh manner, apologize for saying it in that harsh manner, but stay true to how you feel about it. And as always, go out and be positive. And remember, kind is the new cute. So, unfortunately, my time is up. I've had a real good time. I'm DJ Unspoken here on radio.dominican.edu. I thank you all for tuning in. I hope you'll be back next week at my regular showtime, Fridays 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. And as always, as I say, stay real, y'all.
Oh, hell no!
This is Penguin Radio.
This is Keeping It Real, Talking Can Feel with DJ Unspoken, Fridays 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. Stay real, y'all.